What's up, everyone? This is Jamilia from ByteVal, and you're listening to the Barely Legal in Web3 podcast, the show that talks about Web3 in a way that you can understand and highlights some of the barely legal stuff that's happening in the ever-evolving world of crypto, NFTs, and DAOs. On this show, I give you legal analysis and a bit of perspective, along with my amazing guests who are all thriving in these Web3 streets. So if you're ready, let's take a look at what's been barely legal in Web3. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Barely Legal in Web3. I am your host, Jamilia Greer. If you're listening to this podcast on Spotify or on Google or on Apple, I just want to let you know we also are now on YouTube. We have a special spin-off of this podcast, which are in-person interviews that are taking place in Dubai to shed light on the Web3 industry that is happening in Dubai. So guys, please pop over to YouTube, go ahead and subscribe, check that out, and let me know your thoughts. So today's episode is all about how to increase your chances of getting clients in Web3. And while I am an attorney, I do legal services for clients in the space and emerging technologies, businesses that are dealing with emerging technology. This goes for not just lawyers, but for anyone who is looking to get into Web3. I think right now the industry, whether you're looking at getting a job in crypto or in NFTs or even with metaverse, there's one very important skill that is so underrated that people really need to pay attention to. And I say this because I hear it all the time. I hear it particularly from lawyers who have participated in the boot camp, but I also hear it from people who are looking to get into the Web3 industry and they don't know where to begin. So this skill is something that if you have it in your belt, if you have it in your toolkit and your set, you will be good to go. You will be basically unstoppable in getting clients or getting work in Web3. And when I talk about getting clients, I'm also talking about freelance work. If you're in marketing, this could be applicable to you. If you're in business development, it's also applicable to you. If you're in content writing, it's applicable to you. So this is not just for lawyers. Of course, a lot of the things that I talk about on this podcast, because I am a lawyer, it pertains to lawyers. But for this episode, very special piece of advice that is not just for lawyers. So let's just jump right in. So I think the best way to start out with this piece of advice is just to tell you guys that I grew up in small town Connecticut. I went to a high school that essentially everyone knew everyone and everyone knew everyone's family. The teachers that taught at the school used to be students at the school, very small town in Connecticut, and it was not an international town. It was local by standards of Connecticut and very local by standards of any American city. So I went through that environment thinking that my job would most likely be based in Connecticut. And believe it or not, I did end up working at a company that was headquartered out of Connecticut for a number of years in my career. But I never really thought that I would end up where I am right now, which is in Dubai. Everyone that was in my circle, whether it was my family members or friends of family, everyone really worked in, if not this small town, which is Cheshire, worked basically around this area, this Hartford County, New Haven County area. And most of my family still lives there. And so I grew up in this environment where people were very isolated, I guess is a good way to say, and also insulated because they didn't have much access to what's going on in the global space. And that only changed for me when I went to undergrad and I started studying economics and I learned about international economics and I became interested in international affairs and global politics. And I started to say, hey, there's a lot more going on outside of Connecticut. And that kind of catapulted my career to China and Singapore and so on and so forth. And I had this amazing journey exploring other countries. But looking back now and looking back at that environment, and even talking to attorneys that are practicing in one jurisdiction, it's very clear to me that most of the world does not operate that way, which is very unfortunate because Web3, the technology itself, knows no borders. It is fluid. It is multi-jurisdictional. It doesn't need a translator for languages. It is what it is. And to the extent that as professionals, we can become more global, more international, more fluid in our transactions and our understanding, we'll be able to cater to more clients. And some of you may be listening saying, yeah, Jamelia, that goes for anything, right? If you are able to operate in different jurisdictions, then you're able to get more clients. It's different with Web3, and I'm going to tell you why. The innovators and the entrepreneurs that are putting together NFT projects or are building crypto platforms, they are, for the most part, global teams. They are teams where you have founders that are based in one country, and you have a marketing team that's in another country, and you have content writer and strategist that's in another country. This is the nature of Web3. And so as a professional, whether you are a lawyer or whether you are someone else that's looking to advise in the space, you also need to be able to operate in these sort of fluid situations or these global contexts, I would say. And so what does that actually mean for you? It doesn't mean that you need to go out and start learning another language. Certainly, I'm not advising you right now to go out and try to learn Chinese or try to learn another language. But what I am advising you is, what are you doing in terms of your networking to be able to build your presence so that it is not so singular in terms of where you are based? Maybe it's with respect to your LinkedIn network. Maybe all of your connections are in the place where you grew up. How do you expand that? How do you grow that? How do you get to know and talk to and communicate with people who live and operate outside of the country which you operate? It certainly is not easy. I can tell you as someone that, as I mentioned earlier in this episode, that I'm from a small town. How did I get from Cheshire, Connecticut, where basically we just have farms and cows and creameries, to Shanghai, China, where it is a totally different world? I had to reach out and to find people who have already done what it is that I wanted to do. And there's one particular thing that I can recall in my memory very clearly that put me in a spot where I said, okay, this is doable, and I've made contact with this person, and they are going to be able to show me how to do it. So it was actually in undergrad, I believe, or probably early on in law school, where I knew that I wanted to do some kind of international law. I had no idea what international law was. I knew about the United Nations. I knew about the World Bank. I didn't really want to be a World Bank lawyer. I didn't want to be a humanitarian lawyer, but I knew, because you have to understand, there's no one in my family that was a lawyer. I was the first one to get a passport in my family. So there was no one in my circles that I could really reach out to and talk to and seek advice from. So I had to go outside of my comfort zone and outside of my circles to find someone. And I ended up reaching out to a brilliant attorney on LinkedIn who was based in Shanghai at the time. And I asked her, I said, she was American. And I said, how did you get to Shanghai practicing law in a big law firm and speaking Chinese? How did you do it? And she said, you just put one foot in front of the other. Essentially, she was advising me that you just have to identify what it is that you want to do, and then you have to move towards that goal. Now, for some of you listening, you may be saying, that's not very helpful advice. But I can tell you, having a mentor, having even just someone who has made it and someone who is doing what it is that you want to do is a whole heap of benefit. It really is. And so I communicated with her maybe once or twice. We sent LinkedIn messages. She's a partner at a law firm, so she was quite busy. She offered advice when she could, and a lot of it was very helpful. We developed a great relationship over the years, and we still are great friends. But the point is that I had to focus on where it is that I wanted to go and what it is I wanted to do, and to reach out to someone who had already done that. And that is the same thing that you have to do with Web3. You have to come out of your comfort zone, and you have to become more global and get used to this global way of doing business and building businesses in this industry, because nothing in Web3, 99.9% of the businesses in Web3 are global. And if they're not global, I have some questions about the business plan because Web3 and blockchain technology is the most scalable technology. So you need to anticipate that there will be global aspects or international aspects to any deal or transaction that you work on. For the lawyers particularly, you need to anticipate things like choice of law provisions that are from one country to another. You may have a choice of law provision that is based in Switzerland, and then you may have a forum provision that's in the U.S. You may have contracts that are pulling from different types of laws from different countries, and you have to be able to know, when am I going to pull in local counsel? How are we going to structure this deal? And even if it's for marketing, you need to have a global network of colleagues or people who you can work with to be able to pull together a support system to help your clients. And so the one thing that you can do today to increase your chances of getting more clients in Web3 is to increase your global network. And you can do that very easily by, number one, identifying people on LinkedIn who are where you want to be, whether that's physically a location. If you want to increase your network in, let's say, Estonia, find some people who are in Web3 in Estonia. Start to work with them. Understand what types of deals are they doing? What types of transactions are they working on? How is the crypto market there? How is the NFT market there? Are there new projects coming out? It takes a bit of getting out of your comfort zone. But that is something that you can absolutely do that will increase your chances of getting more Web3 clients. And it's a funny thing reaching out to people on LinkedIn in other countries and in terms of networking. I think LinkedIn is a funny place. Twitter is a funny place. Every social media platform has its own sort of culture and ways in which you operate. One thing I would advise, if you are going to attempt to expand your network and reach out to people on LinkedIn, number one, don't use bots. People hate bots, and bots are essentially automated messages where someone accepts your invite, and then upon accepting your invite, they are greeted with an automated message that is not personalized. Secondly, make sure you personalize your message. Make sure you do some homework or some research about the person before you send them a message. Understand why you're reaching out to this person. You can't reach out to just anyone who's based in Dubai, let's say. You need to reach out to the people who you think, number one, is appropriate seniority level. Reach out to someone who you think maybe has the time to respond to you or would even be interested in responding to you. You have to put some thought into it, but certainly have some strategy behind the list that you create of people who you're going to reach out to. Number three, make sure that you have some way for them to contact you and some kind of next steps. So if you reach out to someone on LinkedIn, say, hi, my name is John from the US. I'm looking to expand my network in Dubai. Let's set up a call. Have a link. I love Calendly. I use Calendly all the time. I use Calendly even for my family members. I'm like, hey, book a Calendly. No, but seriously, you need to have some kind of strategy in which, a way in which they can get in touch with you and set up a call. Make it easy for them to set up a call. Fourth, Make sure you include some kind of information about who you are. Remember, you're reaching out to someone cold. Tell them a bit about who you are. Tell them about what it is that you do, why you're reaching out, and what you hope to gain from connecting with them. I really find that 9 times out of 10, if you put some thought and consideration into who you're reaching out to and why you're reaching out to them, people respond positively. They will respond to you. They will set up the call. They'll want to talk to you as long as you're not trying to push something in a sales-like manner on them. No one likes to be sold to in the DMs on LinkedIn, so keep that in mind. And just be consistent with it. Maybe your first week you set up, you send 3 messages, and your next week you send another 5 messages to different people, of course, not to the same person. And just get comfortable with reaching out to people on LinkedIn. And I say this, and I know that for many of you, this may be like, Jamelia, I do that all the time. I'm always reaching out to people on LinkedIn. But I guess that most people do. I know a lot of people who are very professionally savvy. They've been in corporate for a while. But the idea of reaching out to strangers on LinkedIn is probably very frightening to them. And I can also tell you that when I worked in corporate, when I worked at the bank and when in other institutions, I would have no reason to reach out to anyone on LinkedIn. Even if I were looking for a job, I would never reach out to anyone on LinkedIn. But my point is that in order to expand your network, in order to be more global in terms of who you know, you do need to actually reach out. The second thing that I would advise to do if you're really interested in becoming more global and building a global footprint in the Web3 space is look to support an ongoing project. Some of you may have full-time jobs, you may have a 9-to-5 that you work, and you don't really have time to do anything more than a few hours a week. That's totally fine. That is totally fine. What you want to do is you want to understand, is there any way that you can support in a meaningful way, but also being conscious of your time restraints, an ongoing project? Maybe there's an accelerator that you can support with pro bono legal work. If you're an attorney, maybe you can give a few hours a week doing pro bono work in some other capacity for other professionals, but essentially find a project that's in that location. I'm using Dubai as an example. Reach out to them and see if they need help. The funny thing about Web3 is that for the most part, particularly in the NFT space, projects are very friendly and it's very community-driven and community-based. So reaching out, introducing yourself, seeing if they need help, that's a great way to expand your network. Start by seeing how you can help, and then from there, you'll be able to get value. The last thing, and I probably think this is one that most of you probably would like to do, more so than connecting with strangers on LinkedIn or reaching out to people, seeing if they need help with their project. I would say if you can, if your budget allows, if your time allows, if your lifestyle allows, try to attend some kind of Web3 conference in the location that you're looking to expand to. And I keep using Dubai as an example because I feel as though the whole world is flocking here to Dubai. But Dubai is definitely a place that has tons of conferences. Actually, for any individual that lives here, it's almost impossible. It is impossible to go to every event that happens in Dubai because there are so many events that happen in Dubai. So let's just say if Dubai is your target market, think about planning a trip. Think about setting up a period of time where you come in, you attend a few conferences. Maybe you set up some meetings that are in person. Build those relationships, foster relationships, and then gradually grow your network that way. And for those of you that are introverts, like I used to be, and actually I still am, if you attend a conference, bring some kind of business card. It doesn't have to be the paper one. You can bring your electronic business card, your QR code where people can scan it, and just make sure you talk to people. I, for one, I'm guilty of standing on the sidelines for the most part. I at this point, I'm just like, why do I need to do this? I really don't like mingling out too much, but I'm getting better at it. For the most part, it does make sense to try to talk to people if you attend a conference. Don't just go in, get your coffee, and sit down at the table. Talk to people. Introduce yourself. All of these things that I'm saying are skills that really anyone that is trying to build business or get more clients should have. But particularly in the Web3 space, if you can be more global, if you can be more international and grow your network, not deeper into one country, not deeper into one state, but more globally, that will serve you and that will help you boost your career or boost your business footprint, as it were. The reality of Web3 is that it is global in nature, and there is no way that you can have the most fulfilling career or business in Web3 if you remain in one state or only have a network in one state or one country. You need to have partners, colleagues, supporters, people to refer you business based outside of the location where you reside. I still am in contact with many people based in Singapore, many people based in the US, and it just grows. It keeps growing. And the more people who know you outside of where you are based, the higher your chances for you to have inbound work. And for those of you who are not lawyers, who are thinking, well, what the heck is inbound work is essentially you're based in one location. You can advise on the laws of that location, but you're helping people who are looking to come in. You're not necessarily helping your, in my case, Dubai clients go to Kentucky, although for me that would make sense as I'm a US, US license, so bad example there, but you're essentially helping people who are looking to come into the market where you reside. That's what we call inbound work. So if you have a global network and people who are outside of the place where you reside know you and they know about the work that you do in that particular location, they will come to you when they're ready and when they're ready to move into that location. So it cuts both ways. And essentially, whether you're helping people who are based outside of the place where you reside, if you're helping people who live in other countries, eventually they will, who knows, maybe a few years later, a few months later, come back to you and say, actually, I know someone who knows someone that needs someone like you where you reside. And that is the beauty of Web3. It also is the beauty of global business and international business transactions. Very funny. The world is a small place. You never know who you're going to need and when you're going to need them. So just to summarize, for those of you that have listened to this point, if you can, the number one thing that you can do today to increase your chances of getting clients and getting more clients for some of you who are looking to get into Web3 is to increase your global network. Become more global in terms of your partnerships, in terms of the contacts that you have, and you will see that pay out, that return on that in multiples. And not just that, it's good for you. It's good for your career. And for me personally, I like the cultural aspects to it all. I like communicating with people from other cultures, from other countries. I get to learn a bit about them. They get to learn a bit about me. And I just think it's a beautiful thing. So that's your homework. That's your advice. A very different type of episode today, a little bit more educational. But I want you all to have something to walk away with and to really understand how to grow your business. If you are a lawyer and you're listening to the show and you've thought, wow, Jamelia, this sounds great. I'd love to learn more about Web3. I'm actually interested in getting into the space. I do have courses. We have this Web3 bootcamp for attorneys that we're running. I've previously run them live. We're looking to do it sort of a download later on this year, and something that's recorded so that you can stream it at a time that you find most suitable for you. We also may have a live version as well. So that's something that I want to put out there for you guys to think about. You can find more information about it on the website, which is bytebao.io. That's bytebao.io. Check that out. If you need more information, of course, you can always send me a DM on Twitter or anywhere else you can find me. I'm all over the place online. But for you, one point that you have to remember: grow your global network and stay safe out there in those crypto streets. Take care.